is the RTE News at 1 with Brian Dobson. Good afternoon. The headlines this lunchtime. The Fine Gael leader Simon Harris is expected to be elected Taoiseach as the Dáil debate on his nomination winds up. Agriculture leaders are intensifying efforts to support farmers during the fodder crisis. And more than 2,000 Swiss women have won a landmark climate case at the European Court of Human Rights. The news in detail now with Brian Jennings.
The Dáil is now voting on the nomination of Fine Gael leader Simon Harris as Taoiseach. The Minister for Social Protection, Heather Humphreys, proposed Mr. Harris, saying he would break down barriers and make life better for people. There have been repeated calls from opposition parties for a general election to be called. Our political correspondent, Micheál Lehan.
In a sometimes humorous contribution, Heather Humphreys recalled her first sight of Simon Harris in Leinster House in 2011. Back then, she thought he was on a school tour, but knew he would go far after hearing him speak in the chamber. Now Simon Harris is within touching distance of becoming Taoiseach. However, Sinn Féin said today's changing of Taoiseach was all about the century-old cosy club clinging to power. Mary Lou MacDonald said people must decide who leads and there should be a general election. Labour and the Social Democrats echoed this call, while People Before Profit TD Richard Boyd Barrett described the proceedings as a jamboree. Both Taoiseach Micheál Martin insisted each member of the Dáil carries a mandate for a full term and office holders can change during this period. While independent TD Danny Healy-Ray proposed that his brother Michael is nominated Taoiseach by the Dáil, saying he understands what the people need.
A subsidy scheme has been announced for farmers whose livelihoods are being threatened by the fodder crisis. The initiative was announced by the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, following prolonged wet weather that has restricted vital work on the land. The scheme will cover the cost of transport of animal feed over distances above 75 kilometres. Our agriculture correspondent, Joe McGrailey.
This new fodder scheme will operate through co-ops and will subsidise transport of fodder from areas where there is excess to areas where there is a shortage. The Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, announced the scheme during a meeting of the National Fodder and Food Security Committee. That meeting heard that the areas most affected by shortages are in the south and southeast, where rainfall has been heaviest, including in counties Kerry, Cork, Wexford and Waterford. There was no specific supports announced for the tillage sector. The committee meeting also heard how the weather situation continues to cause huge difficulties for farmers in different sectors, with average amounts of rainfall exceeded in 7 of the last 10 months. Met Éireann forecasters said it will be another week and a half of unsettled weather before high pressure is expected to bring relief from the persistent rain. Joe McGrailey, RTE News.
The European Court of Human Rights has ruled that the Swiss government violated the human rights of more than 2,000 elderly Swiss women with its climate policy. The ruling may have implications across Europe and beyond, setting a precedent for how some courts deal with the rising tide of climate litigation, argued on the basis of human rights infringement. The women brought the case, contending that their health was being affected by global warming. They argued that their government's inadequate efforts to combat climate change put them at risk of dying during heat waves. The ruling was read out by Judge Shiafra O'Leary.
There are sufficiently reliable indications that anthropogenic climate change exists, that it poses a serious current and future threat to the enjoyment of human rights guaranteed under the Convention, that states are aware of it and capable of taking measures to effectively address it, and that the relevant risks are projected to be lower if the rise in temperature is limited to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels.
The Supreme Court has ruled that personal injuries awards guidelines, drawn up and adopted by Ireland's judges 3 years ago, are legally binding and remain in force. The 7-judge court dismissed a challenge by a Waterford woman to an award of €3,000 to her by the Personal Injuries Assessment Board in 2021, after she tripped and fell on a footpath in 2019. Bridget Delaney from Dungarvan argued that her injury should have been assessed under previous guidelines, which would have meant a larger award. Now the weather.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Grant. Building a new home? Trust Grant to help you on your heating journey with their home heating design service. Visit grant.ie.
It'll be bright and breezy today with sunny spells and scattered showers. The showers will be frequent in the north, east and midlands. Highest temperatures will range from 8 to 12 degrees. And there's a warning that northwesterly winds will reach gale force 8 or strong gale force 9 at times this afternoon on coastal waters from Belfast Lough to Howth Head to Hook Head and on the Irish Sea, becoming confined to the North Irish Sea by early evening. Brian.
Thank you, Brian. Still to come this lunchtime, the torch is passed. Doyle votes on the nomination of Fine Gael leader Simon Harris as Taoiseach, while the departing Leo Varadkar hails a new era for his party. Fianna Fáil's Micheál Martin tells the Doyle the new Taoiseach has confirmed his commitment to the three-party coalition. We report on today's handover of power, hear from Mr Harris's political mentor, MEP Francis Fitzgerald, and get opposition reaction from Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty. Also, the wet weather fodder crisis for farmers, a funding scheme for the transport of fodder. We'll have details on that after this short break.
Cian de chadúnas telefíse leis na meáin chumarsáide faiblí riachtanacha in éirin. Gáumí buechas leat mohá de chadúnas telefíse iach agat le DNA. Tearchig tvlicense.ie nú éan ifig fuist chuin tíle óla se áil. Ná darúd mohá telefíse agat ní mór chadúnas telefíse a bheith agat. Ó rialtas na héirin.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind.
Hello, Mary Kennedy here. As a woman over 65, one thing that's more important than ever is my health, particularly my bone health. None of us deserves a break or a bone fracture. The risk of osteoporosis increases with age. We must protect and prioritize our bone health. Know your risk. For more information on osteoporosis, visit www.irishosteoporosis.ie.
Organised by Amgen, in association with the Irish Osteoporosis Society.
So, what's on the holiday wish list this year?
Incredible European destinations.
Oh, nice.
Thrilling excursions with expert guides.
Amazing.
Exceptional company.
Of course.
And someone to plan it all for me, start to finish. None of the usual running around.
I'll call the professionals at Travel Department for that one.
Guided group tours to hundreds of destinations with flights, accommodation and everything arranged for you. Book today at traveldepartment.com with great special offers. Travel Department. Let's see more.
Hello again, you're listening to the news at 1. The Fine Gael leader Simon Harris will shortly be elected Taoiseach by the Doyle after being nominated by his party to lead the government for its remaining months in office. The Doyle is at present voting, with the result expected presently, after which Mr Harris, who replaces Leo Varadkar at the head of the three-party coalition, will become the country's youngest Taoiseach at 37. After travelling to Áras an Uachtaráin to receive his seal of office from President Higgins, the new Taoiseach will return this afternoon to government building and begin appointing his cabinet. He already has two vacancies to fill and a number of potential junior ministers to appoint. In today's programme, what kind of Taoiseach can we expect Simon Harris to be? How will he face the first big challenge of picking his team? What might a new era for Fine Gael, as promised by Leo Varadkar, look like? And what can be expected from the opposition parties? We'll be talking shortly to Mr Harris's political mentor, MEP Francis Fitzgerald, and to Sinn Féin finance spokesperson, Piers Doherty. But first, Adele McAllister has been listening to this morning's Doyle exchanges and has this report.
With a packed Doyle chamber gathered to vote for a new Taoiseach just 3 weeks after Leo Varadkar's surprise resignation, the outgoing Taoiseach defended his government's achievements in office and wished Simon Harris well.
There will always be problems to be solved and always more work to be done. This work will now be led by others. Finally, I want to take this opportunity to wish Minister Harris every success in his new role as Taoiseach. I always knew he would be Taoiseach one day. This is perhaps coming a little bit sooner than he might have planned or expected, but I know he will rise to the occasion. He has empathy, energy, experience, campaigning skills and political antennae to take us forward, and I look forward to voting for him and the new cabinet in the House later today, Gurmi Lagav.
Minister Harris was then proposed for the post of Taoiseach by Fine Gael's deputy leader, Minister Heather Humphreys, with a light-hearted memory of their first meeting.
The first time I came to the Dáil was on the 9th of March 2011. And I suppose, like any first-time TD, I was nervous. I was finding my feet and I was trying to get used to this place and to all the new faces around me. I saw this young lad walking around the place and I said to myself, sure, he must be on a school tour or on work experience. So you can imagine my surprise a few moments later when I saw him standing up to nominate Enda Kenny as Taoiseach.
He was seconded by Junior Minister Peter Burke, widely tipped to be appointed a cabinet minister later today. Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin also spoke in support of Simon Harris, defending the work of the coalition in the face of global challenges.
This government was formed in the middle of the greatest public health crisis in modern times, and with over 500,000 people out of work. It overcame tremendous pressure during its first 2 years, and by any objective standard, saved lives and livelihoods in every community in this country.
Simon Harris is on course to win the support of up to 87 TDs, with several independents agreeing to back him. The opposition did not put forward a candidate, saying they wanted a general election. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald described the government's list of achievements in office as fiction.
The narrative we hear today from government is a fairy tale so outrageous that Hans Christian Andersen himself would be proud of it. Yeah. For people to believe the spin from the government benches, they would have to suspend all connection with reality and lose any memory of people's lived experiences.
And Aonthu leader Padraig Tobin said Simon Harris would continue the government's record of spin.
And there's no doubt that Simon Harris is very good at spin. I've never seen anybody be able to distance themselves from themselves so well as he has done in the last number of weeks. A member of a political party that came third in the last general election will become Taoiseach today. And the Taoiseach carousel continues in this political bubble, where we have the people of this republic continuously locked out of the decision-making process.
Padraig Tobin ending that report from Adele McAllister. Well, the roll call vote in the Dáil is continuing as we come to you on the news at one. We can just listen in now
Deputy
to the proceedings.
Colin Murray. Deputy Sean Canny. Oh. Deputy Peter Fitzpatrick. Oh. Deputy Noel Grealish. Oh. Deputy Michael Lowry.
So there, each deputy being asked in person how they vote on the nomination of Simon Harris as Taoiseach. That vote is continuing. It will conclude, we think, fairly shortly. And just as soon as we have a result, of course, we will bring it to you. But I'm joined, meanwhile, by Francis Fitzgerald, Fine Gael MEP for Dublin and former Thornishtown Minister for Justice. And, of course, the person who introduced or gave Simon Harris his first opportunity in politics, Francis Fitzgerald. He began his political life as an advisor to you, people may recall. And I suppose many people will be wondering today, what does Simon Harris stand for?
Well, I think what he stands for is a highly committed politician who believes in the political process, who knows and believes that we can find solutions to the issues of the day for individual families, for citizens, for communities by proper political action. He's a man, I think I would describe him as being the progressive centre, in fact, in terms of he's not ideological. He's more about getting things done. He's not afraid of decisions. He is courageous in his decision making. And I would say to you, Brian, he brings something very important to a government that has been there for a number of years. He brings an energy. And that energy is actually very important, particularly in the context of joining into a coalition already well established. He certainly believes in equality of opportunity. If anything, I'd say that's his guiding principle. And I think the decisions you will see from him will be about that equal opportunity for everyone, particularly young people in this country.
Somebody of the progressive centre, you say, does that mean those in Fine Gael who'd like to see the party move a little bit more to the right are going to be disappointed?
I don't believe they will be, because he will focus on the issues of today, which are sometimes seen as centre-right, but actually it's about dealing effectively with them, like migration, like law and order, and dealing with populism, because those are the issues of today, actually right across Europe, that have to be dealt with. Now, if you call that moving to the right, so be it, but I don't certainly see him moving to anything like the far right. I see him dealing with those issues effectively, and migration does need, we can see this across Europe again, it does need a stronger response, a clearer response, more border controls. That's the way of the world today across Europe, and that's what the Migration Pact this week is about, and this will apply in Ireland as well.
Well, is he someone who put a priority on the stability of this three-party coalition, doing everything possible to ensure that it runs its term or as close to it as possible?
No doubt about that, and that came across very clearly from the government benches. And let's not underestimate the importance of that. At a time when democracy is under complete threat in so many countries, including in Europe, to be able to hand over power to a Taoiseach, from one Taoiseach to another, to maintain a coalition of diverse parties but committed to a programme for government, let's not underestimate the importance of that for our country. And let's value our democracy. Leo Varadkar said today, it's not a failed state, which it's often called. It's a great country. Of course, it's an unfinished democracy. There are many serious issues in every area, but certainly work is being done. To listen to the opposition, you think there'd be no achievements in the last 10 or so years.
Simon Harris is, of course, the third Taoiseach now in this coalition government. And I'm sure you'll tell me that, you know, we live in a parliamentary democracy. The head of the government is selected by our national parliament. But people will wonder how somebody who can ascend to this role without ever having to face the electorate in a general election?
Well, let's face it, he has been in front of the electorate in his own constituency. He has been a minister. He's not going in there as somebody who doesn't know how it works.
But not as leader of his party.
Not as leader of his party, of course, but there's a commitment in the programme for government. If there are changes internally in parties, that's part and parcel of politics today. It's, can you maintain stability with those changes? Can the other parties accept it? Can he work on the programme for government? And the answer to each of those questions is yes, he can do that. He has been elected by the people. Everybody in that Dáil has been. And there is a coalition. There's an agreement for a five-year government. And that's what those parties promised. And that's what they're delivering with a focus on solving the problems that people are facing, which we know are very serious.
His experience in government is in the Department of Health and more recently in the Department of Higher Education. So he's never held an economic portfolio. He doesn't have any experience of foreign affairs. How important is the advice and support of people around him, whether in his own party, a cabinet, or others in cabinet, in dealing with some of the issues that arise on the economic or the foreign affairs front?
No question about that. He is a team player. I mean, his great strength is networking, relationship building, listening. I have no doubt he will bring in the expertise where he needs it. He'll work closely with Pascal and others in the cabinet. He's not somebody who's afraid to listen and take advice. That's a great strength, in my opinion.
Well, now we're just waiting for the result of that roll call vote. I think it's coming very shortly now. I see one of the clerks of the Dáil. Let's go to the Ceann Comhairle.
Nish, current vote on Shin that Dáil Éireann nominates Deputy Simon Harris for appointment by the President to be Taoiseach. Result, Tá 88, Níl 69. I confirm therefore.
So there you hear the applause from the government benches, the new Taoiseach being congratulated now by his colleagues, is shaking hands with Eamon Ryan there a moment ago with Micheál Martin, and all the government benches are on their feet applauding and giving their welcome and their congratulations to Simon Harris, who just now has been elected by 88 votes to 69 as Taoiseach, and will travel, as we said, shortly to Áras an Uachtaráin to receive his seal of office from the President. There may be some more proceedings here. We might just listen back into the Dáil Chamber.
You're all very welcome.
That's the Crown Caller welcoming members of the Harris family who are in the visitors' gallery.
Do you believe that this will be a memory that will be firmly ensconced in the memories of Killian and Saoirse? Long may you remember this great achievement on the part of your dad. Now, Taoiseach Collect, do you think you might be able to say a few words to us?
Gurmag at Cian Corla Gurmag with Osocht for Quid Voti, week at the Peter August Heather, then Fuca Kin Nolsha. And I do accept this nomination to serve as Taoiseach, and I commit to doing everything that I can to honour the trust that you have placed in me today. I want to begin by thanking my own party, Fine Gael, and also our partners in government, Fianna Fáil and the Green Party, for their votes, and also for the independent TDs who supported my nomination here today. This is very much a partnership government, and I intend to lead it in the spirit of unity, collaboration, and mutual respect. Today I want to pay tribute to our outgoing Taoiseach, to my colleague, to my friend, Deputy Leo Varadkar. The history books will absolutely record the incredible service that he did for our country in dealing with some of the biggest challenges of our time, most notably Brexit and the COVID-19 pandemic. But history will also record that he was a trailblazer as we broke free from some of the worst prejudices of our past and showing Ireland at its best to the world. Gurmagas, Leo. I also want to pay tribute to my friend and colleague Simon Coveney, who's stepping down as a minister after serving our country with distinction in so many different roles over so many different years. In particular, I think any objective analysis will never forget all that he did for our country during the darkest days of Brexit. And today we acknowledge that. We thank you for your contribution to Ireland, and I know it's a contribution you will continue. Today is indeed a very special day for me. When I started campaigning on issues close to my heart and got involved in politics, I chose this life. But my family did not. They've been very patient today. But through every step of the journey, they have supported me without question. I want to particularly thank my parents, Mary and Bart, who are here today. They have been my driving force, often making many personal sacrifices for their three children. I hope they can be proud today of their eldest son, because I absolutely know I would not be standing here were it not for them. I want to thank my sister Gemma and my brother Adam. They are my best friends, and we are each other's biggest supporters. And I also want to thank my Nana, who is here with us today. My biggest thank you. My biggest thank you goes to my wife Kiva, who is my rock and an incredible mother to our two beautiful children. And lastly, to my children, Saoirse and Killian, who mean the absolute world to me. I promise being your dad will remain my most important job. It is. It is 13 years since I made my maiden speech in this chamber to nominate Enda Kenny as Taoiseach, someone who went on to fulfil the considerable faith that so many of us had in him as he led a government that helped to rescue our economy and restored our economic sovereignty. Back then I reflected on what values I thought were needed for the job in hand. Integrity, honesty and a work rate which cannot be surpassed. As Taoiseach, I will demand of myself what I saw as so important then. And to return to the words I spoke that day, I promise to preside over a government committed to public service at a time when such commitment is so urgently required. I believed then that a Taoiseach should work every day to realise the hopes, dreams and aspirations of all our people, and I still do. So today, Cian Corla, I accept this new role in a spirit of humility, ready for the challenge and full of energy and determination about what can be achieved. As Taoiseach, I want to bring new ideas, a new energy, and I hope a new empathy to public life. But politics is never about the office holder. This is not about me. It is about all of us working together to serve the people. We as a people, we as a country, have over the last 100 years worked tirelessly together to create our own future. Collectively, this country can and should be proud of the progress that it has made. The number of people with a job is higher than ever before. The number of people accessing education is amongst the highest in the European Union. But now is an opportune moment to build a new social contract, one which renews our promise as a republic, to create equality of opportunity, to support those who need the state the most, to protect our hard-earned economic success, to use its benefits to deliver tangible outcomes to society. Time is certainly short, and there's lots to do. Housing remains the greatest societal and economic challenge of our generation. Today I recommit to moving mountains to help build more homes and drive more home ownership. I will work tirelessly to support the delivery of Sláinte Care and will prioritise the delivery of mental health services and in a step change in how we care for our older people. And I mean this seriously. I want to work with colleagues across this House to deliver real and meaningful reform for people with disabilities. As Taoiseach, I want to see everyone reach their full potential. I want to help create an Ireland that drives innovation and creativity, an Ireland that is compassionate, tolerant and respectful, a country that gives every child an equal start in life, an Ireland that protects our children's future by acting decisively on the climate crisis, an Ireland that values community and rural and regional development. This is a time of great challenge. It's a time in the world where leadership matters. In Ukraine, we see brave and courageous people standing firm against unprovoked war and aggression. In Gaza, we are witnessing a humanitarian catastrophe and we are seeing innocent children, women and men being starved and slaughtered. We have not been silent on the unforgivable terrorist actions of Hamas on October the 7th, nor can we be silent on the disproportionate reaction of the Israeli government. And as a country, we will play our part in helping bring about ceasefire and a lasting peace. Later this week, I will travel to Brussels and deliver those messages to Europe on behalf of the Irish people. Ireland's position in Europe is vital to our economic and social success. It has in many ways now become a part of our national identity. Yesterday, I was honoured to join with government colleagues in meeting with the First and Deputy First Ministers of Northern Ireland at the North-South Ministerial Council. And I, as Taoiseach, I pledge to guard and honour my role as protector and guarantor of the Good Friday Agreement. We have so much more to achieve for all communities on this island, and I look forward to working very much with the Northern Ireland Executive, because Ireland must never take peace or freedom for granted. Our political history has been defined by our quest for freedom. Freedom of country, freedom of conscience, the freedom to achieve freedom. Today, in the 21st century, our destiny is to build on these achievements, to provide hope, to provide opportunity, to provide a better future for all. This must be our mission, our pledge to the generations to come. Whilst I am proudly the leader of Fine Gael, I will lead a coalition of three parties. And today, I sincerely promise to be a Taoiseach for all. No matter your political persuasion, I will work with you and for the country that I know we all love. I will be a Taoiseach who will listen. And my message is simple. I want to work every day to improve the lives of all in this country. Fueled by hope and driven by a vision of a better Ireland, I will provide a new leadership and a new energy, and I intend to act decisively in the best interests of our people. Going back centuries, our shared history is more than simply a narrative of oppression and resistance and the courageous triumph over adversity. It is a story about belief in each other, of faith in the future. The Irish story is a story of hope. A spirit of optimism sustained us in the darkest of days. And today, once again, we must ensure it lights our way forward. Let us not make the mistake of giving in to pessimism and despair about our future. History has been written in Dáil Éireann so many times since January 1919. We can and must write it again by rising above partisan politics, by working together to solve the greatest challenges of our time. The people expect us to do more. We should demand of ourselves, no less.
So, Simon Harris has been elected by the Dáil by 88 votes to 69 and making his first remarks there as Taoiseach following that election, and once again getting the applause of members on the government benches. He pledged that he would lead a government of partnership. He said it would be in a spirit of unity, of collaboration and of mutual respect. He also in those remarks paid tribute to Leo Varadkar and to Simon Coveney, two departing members of the government, describing for him today a very special day for a career that he chose to live in, one he said that his family didn't, and spoke of his parents, Mary and Bart, making personal sacrifices for their three children. There are also tributes to his wife, Caoimhe, and to other members of his family. He said that he would take on his new role as Taoiseach in a spirit of humility, and identified a series of areas that will be for him, he indicated, priorities: housing, healthcare, disability reform, tackling climate change, the international crises in Gaza and Ukraine, Northern Ireland, pledging to guard and honour his role, he said, as guarantor of the Good Friday Agreement, and concluding there with a pledge to be a Taoiseach for all. Well, still listening to all of that, Francis Fitzgerald is in our studio. Francis Fitzgerald, well, what's your reaction to Simon Harris's election?
Oh, well, a very moving occasion for Simon and his family. Delighted with such a strong result, a strong endorsement for him. That's very important. John Bruton described the role of Taoiseach as one of high office, but a humbling one. And Simon mentioned the word humble there. I think he will be a humble Taoiseach, but no doubt the office will test him as it tests every Taoiseach. It's full of highs, it's full of lows. It's an extraordinarily challenging time, both here in Ireland and in Europe. We have war in Europe, we have inflation, we have social challenges, but we have a good economy, and many would say we are dealing with some of those challenges better than many are dealing with them, and we have full employment. We have the strengths to go forward, but nobody could underestimate the challenges and the short time frame that Simon Harris is facing as well.
All right. Well, let's pick up on a couple of those points with Micheál Lehane, our political correspondent who's in Leinster House. Micheál, I was struck by the comments of Tánaiste to Micheál Martin earlier in the Dáil. He said, addressing Simon Harris, things might get a bit more challenging and rockier. So no doubt, tough days ahead.
No doubt about that. I suppose you sense this is different, I suppose, to the other two Taoiseach who have held the post during the lifetime of this government, because it is coming towards the end of the government's term. That is the case. Also the fact that any government at this point in its lifetime is vulnerable to a crisis. I think they will be taking much solace from the fact, though, that so many independents did vote for Simon Harris there, bringing the total up to 88 in the end. Sean Kenny, the last one to declare his hand this morning. So the government do have a fairly solid majority when it comes to perhaps key votes next autumn and into the winter then as well. I mean, it is ultimately making its way to one last budget. But while there are promises aplenty, and while the communications of Simon Harris, which is a skill many say that he does very well, that was all evident in that speech, you sense there will have to be improvements on those key homelessness figures, and improvements too on the delivery of housing, particularly affordable and social ones, as well as around health. It's interesting that disability has been mentioned several times, and there will be a cabinet committee set up on disability now. Notably yesterday, here in a Dáil committee room, there were several hours of testimony given by people with disabilities, many of them saying that they feel like second-class citizens. That's a situation that the new Taoiseach will have to remedy quickly.
All right. Micheál, we'll leave it there. Thanks also to Francis Fitzgerald for joining us, and the members of the government parties gathering outside Leinster House now in the sunshine on this April day, preparing to see Simon Harris depart for Áras an Uachtaráin as the day's events unfold. Back with more on today's political story after this short break.
We will rock you with a symphonic spectacular celebrating the legacy of Queen on May 9th in the National Concert Hall, presented by the RTE Concert Orchestra, conducted by Martin Yates, and featuring stars from the West End hit musical. This unique celebration includes full arrangements of Radio Gaga, Somebody to Love, and more. Thursday, May 9th, National Concert Hall, Dublin. Queen, a symphonic rock spectacular with the RTE Concert Orchestra. See rte.ie/co for more.
surge in demand for credit union farming loans. Cultivate Credit Union farm loan applications have doubled in just 2 years to over 50 million euro. Whether you need a stocking loan, finance for a farm building, a tractor or a TAMS loan, we're here to help. Visit your local Cultivate Credit Union today as part of National Cultivate Week to find out more about our personal service, quick loan approval and competitive rates. Cultivate, for farmer-friendly finance from your local credit union. Loans are subject to approval. Terms and conditions apply. The cost of your repayments may increase. If you do not meet the repayments on your loan, your account will go into arrears. This may affect your credit rating, which may limit your ability to access credit in the future. Credit unions in Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
RTE Radio 1.
The Black Keys, live in concert. Three Arena Dublin, Friday, May 3rd.
Baby, I'm howling for you.
Available now from Ticketmaster.ie. The Black Keys, live at Three Arena. Tickets available now.
Music updates on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again, you're listening to the news at 1. The main news this lunchtime is that the Fine Gael leader Simon Harris has been elected Taoiseach by the Dáil in the last half an hour by 88 votes to 69. He will shortly make his way to Arsene Uachtaráin to receive his seal of office from President Michael D. Higgins. Let's get more political reaction to today's developments. I'm joined from our Dáil studio by Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson, Piers Doherty. A very good afternoon to you, Deputy, and thanks
good
for talking to us on the programme. In his first remarks there as Taoiseach, Simon Harris appeared to reach out to parties across the Dáil, including those of you on the opposition, to work together to tackle some of the problems we face. What kind of response are you going to get to that invitation?
Well, look, Brian, if you wanted another example of how you know that Fine Gael is out of ideas, that's just in that comment. Look, this is the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, who's thrown in the towel. The deputy leader has thrown in the towel. We've got about another dozen of the parliamentary party who are thrown in the towel in this election. And what we get now in terms of the rearranging of the deck chairs is just more the same. Like, if you were listening to Simon Harris there, he plans to do in 10 months what Fine Gael couldn't do in 13 years when he himself was in government as a minister sitting around the cabinet table for 8 of those years. So there's a lot of promises, but we're well used to that from Leo, from Simon Harris. We've heard his promises to children and the families with scoliosis. We've heard his promises about holding people to account for the overrun in the children's hospital when he was minister for health. We've heard many other promises that he's made down throughout the years, and they come and they go. So, you know, what we needed today was real change. What we needed today was a general election. What we needed today was somebody, if he genuinely wants to lead this country, somebody who had the guts to go to the public and say, I want a mandate. Give me a mandate for 5 years. Here's my vision. He doesn't have the guts to do that. And that's what he should be doing today.
He now has the mandate of the Dáil, of those of you who are elected to our national parliament. That's his mandate for however much longer this government lasts.
He's a temporary caretaker, Taoiseach. And as I said, somebody, you know, when the last time when Fianna Fáil were trying to hold on to power back in 2010 when they were rearranging the deck chairs at that time, the Leo Varadkar stood up on the Dáil and said that the government should seek a mandate from the people for the next 5 years, and that's exactly what they should have done that time in 2010. That was when the last time when Micheál Martin was in government, actually a time, because I heard his lectures to Sinn Féin today, a time when I had to take him to the High Court himself and his cabinet colleagues, where they were found guilty by the High Court for breaching the constitutional rights of the people of Donegal because they wouldn't have an election, a by-election at that time. But so, look, listen, it's very clear here. This is a government who, and a, particularly a party who's running afraid of the people. Why are they running afraid of the people? Because look at the shambles they have made over the housing crisis. They have created a crisis where we have rents at runaway prices, where houses have never been the highest in their life, and we have 4,000 children waking up this morning in emergency accommodation, and it gets worse every day under Fine Gael's watch.
Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin, we'll leave it there. No doubt, much more reaction to today's developments in the course of the day, but moving on. A guard investigation is underway into an attack on a suspected burglar at a house in South Dublin in the early hours of last Sunday morning. A resident is suspected of attacking the man before bringing him to hospital and reporting the incident to Gardaí. Let's talk to our crime correspondent, Paul Reynolds. Paul, what's known about what happened here?
Well, Brian, this happened in the Fettercairn area in Talla in Dublin in the early hours of Sunday morning last. A resident reported that he heard a noise in his home and he saw a man in his garden at around 2 a.m. He said he challenged the man, who appears to have threatened the resident, and told him that he was not alone, that there were others with him. The resident then appears to have got a weapon, believed to be a slash hook, and the suspected intruder was struck a number of times on the leg. The victim in his 30s was seriously injured and the resident took him to Talla Hospital in South Dublin. He then reported the matter to the Gardaí, who are now investigating the incident. However, the victim appears to have discharged himself from Talla Hospital, only to be subsequently admitted to the Mater Hospital in North Dublin. The victim sustained serious injuries to his leg and underwent surgery in the Mater yesterday.
And Paul, what stage is the investigation at?
Well, the Gardaí are now waiting to interview the man in hospital, but it's not clear if he will make a complaint. He's known to the Gardaí and the drug treatment services. In a statement today, Garda headquarters confirmed they are investigating, quote, an alleged assault at a residential premises in Fettercairn in Talla in the early hours of Sunday, and that a man is being treated at a hospital in Dublin for serious injuries. Residents and homeowners, though, are legally entitled to defend themselves and their families in the place they live under the Criminal Law Defence and Dwelling Act. It's not an offence for a lawful occupant in a dwelling to use force against another person to protect themselves or another person if the force is reasonable and if they believe the person has entered the property as a trespasser to commit a criminal act.
Paul Reynolds, thanks very much for that. Our crime correspondent Paul Reynolds there. A subsidy scheme to pay for the transport of fodder to farmers facing shortages has been announced by the Minister of Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue. The Minister outlined details of the scheme at a meeting of the National Fodder and Food Security Committee, which met in Dublin today as the wet weather continues to impact on agriculture. The committee heard that the areas most affected by the fodder shortage are in the south and southeast, where rainfall has been heaviest. Well, Mike Mangan is chair of the National Fodder and Food Security Committee, and he's on the line now. Thanks for taking our call today. What do you make of this scheme that's been announced today in response to the fodder situation, Mike?
It's a very good help, Brian, because we have a situation, as you described, where certain parts of the country are low on fodder stocks, and we now know from surveys that it is available in other parts of the country. And if we can help interface the demand and the supply, it would be a great help. But the cost of bringing fodder long distances is a big issue for the receiving farmer. So this subsidy will be a great help in that.
And what are the subsidy? What are the figures? How far will they go to meet the costs?
Well, the emphasis is on long distance, 75 kilometres or more is when the subsidy kicks in. It's 30 euros for a large bale of silage, or 40 euros a tonne, and then some other costs associated with maybe transporting straw if and when available. So that's the cost, Brian. It's we're really concerned for those farmers that may be looking at shortage because of the very early autumn and very late spring, and because of that. And the other issue that was discussed at length today was the tillage sector and how in dire circumstances tillage farmers haven't been able to plant anything, and the worry is the season is getting very, very late. We had a submission from Metairn giving us a good detailed forecast for the next couple of weeks, and it looks like we have to endure another week or 10 days of this kind of weather, broken weather, before we get a respite into better weather.
All right, we leave there for now. Mike Mangan, Chair of the National Fodder and Food Security Committee, thanks for that.
Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And it's very good afternoon to Andrew O'Connor.
Good afternoon to you, Brian. The Republic of Ireland women play their second Euro 2025 qualifier tonight at the Aviva Stadium. World Cup runners-up England challenge Eileen Gleeson's team tonight in the first meeting between the two countries in the women's game in 37 years. Kick-off is at 7:30.